And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Joining me now on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Hello.
Well, good morning.
Walmart is obviously the big story today and this week, and we'll hear more from Christina Thomas later in the show about the shareholders meeting, but the City Wire has been covering it throughout this week.
Yes, Walmart has brought just a few people to town.
And
a few hotel rooms have been used. A few restaurants have been probably gone through their refrigerator a few times. But, yes, thousands of people in town for the Walmart Shareholders Week. One of the interesting things we heard Wednesday, Walmart is continuing to, and they've talked about this for some time, but it was interesting they gave it so much attention, that they're going to continue to source, try to do as much sourcing as they can. And by sourcing, we mean buying products from that are made in the U.S. Company execs already said that roughly two-thirds of what they get is from the U.S., but, you know, that includes their produce and a lot of their grocery goods. So obviously, you know, a lot of that has to come from the U.S. But part of this sourcing, though, has benefited two companies in the area directly, and they on purpose used that example, and one was, you know, Bert Hanna's candle shop there in Fayetteville. He employs about 150 people, and, you know, Michelle Gleckler with Walmart said their candle sales have risen from about $4 million a year to $30 million a year, and Bert Hanna does some private label candles for Walmart, so it's worked out for him. And then in Fort Smith, I know sometimes people in the Fort Smith region say that, you know, they don't keep up with Walmart because it doesn't do anything for them. Well, they couldn't be more wrong. There's a company, there's a chemical company here in Fort Smith, Peterson Chemical, that some of the products that are made for bedding products that are made for Walmart in the U.S. use Peterson Chemical technology. So, you know, if that sourcing continues, I think it's in everyone's best interest. If they're interested in seeing some kind of return of manufacturing numbers in the U.S., Walmart, being the world's largest retailer and the largest U.S. retailer, could have a big, could certainly help in that regard.
Was there any indication from Walmart, you know, what kind of spurred this initiative?
Well, I think, several things. I mean, just, you know, Walmart never shies away from just good old-fashioned public relations. So that's what you have some of this. And, you know, there's been in the last couple of years, there's been some thinking among business leaders that, you know, if we keep making things overseas, who are we going to sell stuff, you know, who's going to be able to afford to buy our stuff here, you know, if all the manufacturing jobs leave? So I think there's just an effort to try by the business community where it's cost efficient. And even when it's not, I mean, you know, Walmart said Wednesday that they know that some customers have said they're willing to pay just a little bit more for that Made in America tag. So I think it's public relations. I think it's an awareness of the economic benefit of trying to keep as much production in the U.S. as possible.
Another story you guys had on the City Wire this week was about Arkansas severance tax revenue is on a record pace.
Yes, it is, which is a surprise because
really?
The drilling activity. Well, drilling activity in Arkansas is really off the pace. I think the average, there are about 15 rigs in the entire Fayetteville Shale Play, which is that central in north part of Arkansas. A year ago, there were about 22 rigs, and about 5 years ago, there were 55 rigs in the area. So the production is down, but the price of natural gas has increased. It's up almost $2 in the past several months. And so what that reflects here in Arkansas is for the first four collection months of the year, severance tax collections, which is the tax off the natural gas that's sold, is $19.7 million, and that's well ahead of the $15.7 million from the same period in 2012, and it's 6% higher than in 2011. And in 2011, we had record collections of almost $59 million in 2011. And so Arkansas is on pace to beat that record. And that's important for several reasons. One, there are a lot of royalty owners that benefit from that also. It shows that there's more not necessarily more gas being sold, but there's more income coming into the state for the gas that's sold. And also that some of those tax collections are used to support road and other infrastructure in some of the counties that had a lot of the drilling activity, had a lot of those heavy rigs coming in and out to drill for the gas. So it's not only does it help bring more tax money in, it brings more money in for royalty owners, and it supports that infrastructure in those drilling areas.
Another story that we've been following and the CityWire has been following has been the whole healthcare shift that's happening.
Yes, and we had an interesting, we wanted to kind of talk to some insurance experts to see what the insurance industry is doing to gear up. And without exception, everyone we talked to four different groups, four different people and companies, and as we know, there's just a clear sense of anxiety and frustration among these folks. And, you know, the anxiety is about, and frustration is fueled by the uncertainty. They just don't know all the details. And we're just, you know, 30 or 60 days from some key provisions kicking in. A gentleman named Dennis Jumper, he's the trainer guy. He is who the state of Arkansas has hired to train people who will then go out into the regions to try to educate business owners and insurance agents about how this is going to work. And he's even frustrated. And one of his quotes, I'll read it here. He says, every day is a new day. Nobody has the answers. If anyone thinks they do, they're a fool. And but he's, you know, he said they have enough of a fundamental outline of what it's going to look like. He's just training everybody to be prepared to go. But we've got the full story on the CityWire, obviously, and there are too many angles of it to try to probably explain here, but I would encourage your listeners to go check it out on the CityWire.
Sure. It sounds very much like a figure-it-out-as-we-go kind of approach.
Well, it is, and it was a good primer for me, and I hope it's a good primer for your listeners, just to kind of set the stage for what some of the key issues are in terms of the insurance industry.
I look forward to reading that. Now, often when you and I talk, I feel like we talk about jobs leaving Fort Smith with, like, Whirlpool shutting down and things like that. But you actually have some news that there could be more jobs in Fort Smith?
Right. Yes, and it is nice to have a positive angle. Gerber has a plant here. They make baby food and other products here in Fort Smith. And they've been – Gerber – for many years has been very secretive about how many they employ and that type of thing. But they recently applied for some industrial revenue type bonds, $90 million in a total bond package for improvements at the Fort Smith plant. Not only is that good, I mean, any time that a company invests in a plant, it suggests that there's some security there that they're going to keep the plant operating. But Gerber also said once the facility is complete and up and running, the expansion, I should say, that it could add to it could add 90 jobs to the workforce. And the thing about Gerber is those are good-paying manufacturing jobs. So it's in a region that's really been hit, like you said, by the loss of Whirlpool and some other things. 90 is a good number, especially 90 manufacturing jobs. So we'll stay on top of that and watch as that develops.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much for checking in with me today, and I will check back with you next Friday.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Thanks again, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later.